In Acts chapter 14 and verse 29, we read, when they arrived and gathered the church together, and this is Paul and Barnabas after they returned from their first missionary journey, they declared all that God had done with them. And as Olin mentioned, this is my second trip to Uganda, and the brethren are extremely appreciative. Over and over again, they said they wanted to express their love and appreciation to you for helping them in growing in the gospel. But we also want to remember that this is God's work. God is doing a great work, not only in Uganda, but several other countries that I'll talk about over in Africa, where people are very, very receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think Larry Vincent mentioned when he went to South Africa that some brethren from Zimbabwe traveled about 3 hours just to hear Larry speak, and then they asked him or pleaded with him for brethren from the United States to come and help teach the Bible. So we're just encouraged by their reception. Just to kind of remind you about Uganda, Uganda is one of the smaller countries in the continent of Africa. Uganda is on the equator, only one of 6 countries on the equator. It's a former British colony, which means the official language is English, even though there are 30 different dialects. You go to a different part of the country, they'll speak Swahili, Luganza, Lukanzo. The area is a little bit bigger than the state of Alabama, about the size of Oregon. However, there's a population of almost 40 million. So it's about the size of Alabama, but it has 7 times as many people. And as you can see on the map here, I went back to the same places I went last time. You fly into Entebbe, which is by Kampala, and then I went over to Bale, which is by Kenya, and then travel back over to Kasese, which is on the far western. That's about a 10-hour drive going over to Kasese. And so I'm not going to do that again, but I have wanted to establish contact with brethren in these diverse places and hope to have follow-up trips in the future. I had opportunities to, right here in Bale, over in western Kenya, on my internet email list, I've had some preachers and other people ask that I come and teach there. And also, we baptized some people that came from the Congo. So, 2 trips there, go to western Uganda and the Congo, and then eastern Uganda and Kenya, because there's great opportunities to teach over there. And the total number of people taught in the 3 different places I went was about 600 people came. And that included about 80 preachers, and it was real exciting to see 9 people that put on Christ in baptism. I had the opportunity for 1 week to have Ken Craig to go with me. Ken is an elder down in Helena, which is, by Birmingham. And he taught his material that he's taught in many places very effectively on the gospel plan of salvation, or he calls it the big picture of the Bible. And he has this handy guide, flip charts, that really is the PowerPoint that he saved, and you can have printed out as a flip chart. I know Christians have used that to just present the gospel in one lesson, like in Acts 16. Well, one lesson shot, what is the gospel plan of salvation? And I had the great opportunity to see that work, where he presented that to one person, and one person was baptized. And we are standing there on the equator, which that's very interesting. We passed the equator twice when we were there. My companion over there is Mwizera Emmanuel. We would say their last name is their first name, and their first name is their last name. The family name is first, and then their given name is second. But Emmanuel was with us in my travels to eastern, central, and western Uganda. And he, a couple of years ago, had requested material on various subjects. They don't have a lot of access to Bible books and study material. And so had a very receptive audience from him and dozens of other preachers from the internet to have Bible material sent to them. And the churches in Uganda have been struggling in that in 1996, some liberal teaching from brethren were introduced over there for his liberal views on divorce and remarriage, about worship, the role of women in the churches. And so you had churches that had split over that. And they also had some teaching on the one cup doctrine. You have to use only one container, and that had caused some problems, so I did some teaching on that. And I'm thankful for the church here has sent support to Emmanuel. Emmanuel is 28 years old. He grew up in Rwanda. He saw his parents murdered in the genocide that was in Rwanda. And Emmanuel's real dedicated. Sometimes he'd walk, 10 miles to go have a Bible study with someone. And the support that we have sent him, he would take his own personal support to rent a PA system, speakers and a PA system, in order during the service, they will broadcast the service, the sermon, to people out on the streets. And when I was there, they had three people from the neighborhood in that area that came to the service. In Acts chapter 16, verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so this Macedonian call of helping is something he's very grateful. When you go and the worship service we had Sunday, which one of the services I did not speak at, but they would worship for 4 hours on hard benches and dirt floors because they're just very keenly interested in spiritual things. And so it's a joy to help those who are very interested in God's Word. And one of the things that they found very encouraging is to know there are brethren in different parts of the world that believe and practice the same thing that they do from the New Testament. Because for a period of time, they felt isolated and struggling and discouraged. And so they just found it very encouraging that there's brethren all over the world that care about them and love them and want to encourage them. So we went into Kampala. Kampala is the central area, and I preached Sunday at Bwaze. Bwaze is the north central suburb in Kampala. And they started a church there because Emmanuel had converted some people. And transportation costs to go to the other congregation in the southeast part of Kampala was just prohibitive. So they started a congregation in Bwaze. And Bwaze is one of the poorer areas of Kampala. In that particular area, only the poor people can afford to live there because there's a lot of flooding. Now, this is the home of Frank. He's a nice guy. I like Frank. And it's kind of hard to see, but you see that dark area? That's green. And what that is that's the water level that they are regularly flooded out of their house. Emmanuel told me that they get flooded in the middle of the night. They have to get up in the middle of the night, leave their homes, wait till the water goes down, and they have to go in and clean their house. In the last 6 months, this has happened twice. Because they live in an area that has very poor drainage, and all when it rains, the water collects in that particular area. Frank, and that's Agnes, they have 8 children, and they live in this one-room house. And this is Chris. Chris is a preacher in another congregation. The other congregation where he preaches, he's from Nigeria, is only 5 miles away or so. But because of transportation, they don't have the money to pay a taxi, and a taxi would be like a Buddha Buddha, which is a motorcycle. So they're limited to where they can meet. But Chris has contact, he said, with about 20 different denominational preachers, and he would like for me to come back, and he says, we're going to have a class with these 20 different denominational preachers to talk about the undenominational gospel of Jesus Christ. So that is a great opportunity, I think. And there I am preaching on the right. Francis on the left is my translator, and he's translating into Luganda. And Luganda is the major dialect there in central Uganda. Kampala is a city of about 5 million people, just to let you know. And Francis, when I visited with him in his home, I met his son. And his son has sickle cell anemia. And he talked about how his son has to go to the doctor and how his son suffers, but his son also leads the singing in the congregation where that meets in his home there in Entebbe. But he was going to be my translator that Sunday. On the right there, you see part of the PA system that Emmanuel bought or leased with his own support money. And they have these large speakers that are broadcast to people out on the street. Frank, there on the right, is speaking on the importance of giving. He has 8 children. He sells clothes in a little store by his house. And he barely has enough to feed his family. But he talks about the importance of being generous and giving to God. He showed me the church where he used to attend. He was a former Pentecostal preacher. But because of his honesty and sincerity, he was searching for the truth. And there were things that they were teaching and practicing that were not in accord with the New Testament. He was baptized in Lake Victoria. So he's been a Christian about 6 months. And then after leaving Kampala, we go to the east in Bali, which is close to the Kenyan border. We had about 65 brethren that came. And there's about 25 preachers who attended the class. So right there, that is Moses Melissa. And Moses helped to arrange the class. Moses is a farmer. That's how he supports himself. His wife is a school teacher. And he told me recently he had some of his cattle had been stolen and his oxen had been stolen. And he says he told his daughter, his children, to pray that God will take care of us. God will help us to get through this. So he is a great example of faith. He was very encouraged. He said that the Bible teaching helped to strengthen the brethren there. This brother here was alive during the time of Idi Amin. During the time of Idi Amin, the only churches that were allowed to meet were Catholic, Anglican, and Muslim. The churches of Christ had to go underground. And if you were caught worshiping, you were subject to being killed. So he remembered that time from Idi Amin. But, oh yeah, I want to show this other brother. This brother here, he had a motorcycle wreck. And he was in a great deal of pain. But he decided he wanted to stay and listen to the Bible teaching. So I'm there sitting down because I don't have a place to put my notes. There's a low-lying table. That's why I'm sitting down. But after the class, they'd have lots of different questions. And at the end of the presentation, there was one brother who stood up and spoke and expressed tremendous appreciation for coming and also to the brethren for sending me to these classes. So it's just very heartwarming to see their appreciation. We had three teenagers that were baptized into Christ. We went to a nearby river. This is a river where they get their drinking water, where they wash their clothes, and the cattle like to hang out there too. And there he is, he's waving. He's happy that he's a new creature in Jesus Christ. This is Eddie. Eddie in the middle last year was almost killed in a motorcycle accident. Moses sent me an email and his son was close to dying. And he said, will you please pray for Eddie that he'd live? Eddie was 15 at the time. And I believe I sent out an email message. I may have put it on Facebook. I don't remember, but I tried to let brethren know about that. And they were just extremely appreciative of the prayers, and they believe that God answered the prayers and allowed Eddie to live. And so he was one of the young people that was baptized that when we were there with them. And then one day they took me out to a village which was close to Maliba, which is about 40 miles north of Bale, which is in eastern Uganda. And when we went there, a man from the city council came to meet me and greet me for coming there. It was a small village, probably 150 or so people there. It was interesting. This is a community meeting place where people would meet. So they were very appreciative. You had about 150 people there, and just they wanted to welcome me to come back. Then we went to the far west. We had King Craig came in. We picked him up. And drove about with, because of flooding, we had to take the southern route, which took us about 7 hours from Kampala to get there. And this is the last day of our meeting. A lot of the preachers had to go home because they farm and had jobs that they had to attend to. We had about 58 total preachers that came to our different classes. But here's the last day just before we left. And here we are in the church building. That church building that they have at Maliba has no electricity. The light has to come in through the windows and the different holes that they have in the wall to let in light. They have hard benches and dirt floors, and they're very attentive, and they took very good notes. We also had some preachers that came from Tanzania, northwest Tanzania. They came a long way, and that is Hanson, Prudence, and Timothy. And they invited me to come and to teach. They said they've not had anybody from the United States to come and visit them. And so they were eager for someone to come teach. And that's King Craig that's with them. And that Sunday, we had about 330 for worship. They were expecting 500. But because of the flooding, and they had flooding that killed about 8 people, some of the bridges were washed out and some of the brethren could not be there. But they have gorgeous singing. I mean, it's just so uplifting. And I have some audio files of their singing that, and you'll notice they don't have a songbook. And I'll show you in a second. The church has one songbook. And the song leader uses that. So they all have to know the words by heart. And they all have to know the melody and the different parts. You ever wonder, what would it be like if we didn't have a songbook? We have to sing from memory. That's what Paul and Silas did in Acts chapter 16 when they were in jail. That's what these brethren do. They sing it over and over again till they memorize the words. They hide that word in their heart. So they have beautiful singing. Now this little girl here, she's covering her ears. She thinks they're too loud. But they have beautiful singing. There's some lessons I want to ask you to think about as we, and of course I got in late yesterday afternoon, so I hadn't had a lot of time to put this together, but I think there's some major lessons that we can remember. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see some people who are just hungering for the gospel. You have some churches that have one Bible, and they have to share this one Bible. This is an older preacher. I forget his name, but they referred to him as the old preacher. What I remember about him is he has no teeth, but he was always very studious. He was taking copious notes. This is a brother that's either Philippe or Jacques. I forget which one that is, but that's a preacher from the Congo. It came, I think, about 3 hours or so to come to our class as he's busy taking notes. And we also saw some great examples of Christians that are dedicated to the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is John Mark and Rosemary. And they have 7 children, and they have adopted 8 children. And some of those are handicapped children. So they have 15 children. He supports himself, and they run a school, kind of like a daycare center and a school where they teach and tutor children. And so that's how they support themselves. They don't receive support from the church. And when we were singing there in Bali, that's in eastern Uganda, this is one of their songbooks. And I remember one of the song leaders, Bob was his name, as he was singing, it's just in tatters. It's a worn out songbook, and they don't have the musical notes in it. They just have the words. But what I thought was very interesting, let our motto be, I am faithful. Is that our motto? I am faithful. So you go over there to teach them, but they teach and encourage you. We went into a preacher's home. This is Solomon's home. And he has a 2-room house. And on his wall, he has a plaque. He has 2 plaques. I love my family. With God, it is never too late. And when people live on the edge of physical sustenance, that when you discover all that you have, that God is all that you have, you discover that God is all that you need. This is inside the home of Frank and Agnes. The inside of their home is about the size of one of our classrooms where their 8 children live. And they welcomed me after we came back from the West and the day before we were to fly out. They welcomed me into their home. And this is what's, you know, the slum area or the poor area of Wazi. And as they welcomed me in their home, they brought me a Coke, and that's a roll to eat. And he says, now I want to do this because Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2 says that I need to do that, that I need to show hospitality to you. So they bring me some water that they pump out of the ground. And I'm thinking, man, no telling what kind of bacteria is on there. So they bring it. So I take and I grab the end of one of the roll, and I eat around it so I don't get any water in my mouth, and I set it down, and then one of the kids grabbed it and started to eat it. Because they don't have a lot of extra food to eat. But also, that's some water he brought for us to drink. You stick a straw in there and suck the water out of that. But I appreciate that they were just wanting to be hospitable, to show their appreciation. We're glad that you're here. And then we need to remember the great work of supporting the spread of the gospel of peace. We have what everybody needs, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can save a person's soul. This is Daniel. Daniel was a Pentecostal preacher. He had met some preachers in the Church of Christ in the Congo. He is a linguist that works for the United Nations. He speaks 15 languages. These preachers talk to him, and so he says, I want to investigate your teaching about the nature of the undenominational church and about the role of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit today. So he came to our classes. Now, when he came to our classes, I did not know. I thought he was just a regular gospel preacher. I didn't know his background. Well, he began asking me a lot of questions. And hopefully his questions were answered satisfactorily so that he was baptized into Christ. When we had five baptisms on Sunday, Daniel was one of those that was baptized. So hopefully we have opportunity maybe to go into the Congo and to visit him. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, the Congo is a lot of these places, I didn't feel any danger being in Uganda. Now, places like the Congo are somewhat dangerous if you go to the wrong places. But if you go with brethren, they can take you to the right place or a place that's not dangerous. I think it'd be dangerous to go to New York City at 2 a.m. in the morning and wander around the streets. That would be dangerous. So you have to be careful where you go. But, you know, he came a long way just because he is searching for the truth. And seeing someone like that is very encouraging. This is William is our driver. William was the last person that we baptized that we were there. William got a speeding ticket. And Ken was thinking very quickly, he says, now I want to teach you a lesson about grace, okay? Because we've been working on William for a long time. As we were driving around, we were in the van, and William was pretty quiet, and I didn't know how much he was absorbing. But he got a speeding ticket, and Ken says, now I'm going to show you, instead of justice, I'm going to show you grace. And I'm going to pay your speeding ticket if you'll let me give my one presentation on the gospel plan of salvation. And William said, okay. So there we are at Lake Victoria, the source of the Nile. And Ken has a laptop computer he borrowed. His laptop went out. My laptop went out. I'll get to that in just a second. But there we're going over one lesson. It's about 40 minutes. And he was baptized. And when he came out of the water, he's smiling. And he says, I have been crucified with Christ. And William said, Frank, I want to take you all over Uganda preaching the gospel. Another lesson to remember is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What are the most popular toys in Uganda? Well, you see a plastic water bottle? They play kick the bottle is what they do. That's a toy. That child, he has a... That's a toilet paper roll. That's his toy. Here's a child. Another popular is it's an inner tube or a worn-out bicycle tire. That's their toy. We take a lot of things for granted. It would be great for any of you to go to Uganda, take your children, and help them see that things that we take for granted, they don't even have. You see these ubiquitous yellow containers. They don't have running water in their home, so there's that underground well where they got my water to wash my hands. And so they have to haul that to their homes. There's a woman, she's hauling her bananas, and she's got her water bottle. That's what she cooks with. That's what they drink. That's what she does laundry. When she goes down to the river, it's where she does her laundry. But I guess she was having a bad hair day. She did not want me to take her picture. But anyway. And then the kids, they have to haul water from the creek and the river and bring it to the house. Now, if you think you're having a hard day, I want you to remember, here's a couple, husband and a wife, and they're tending their potato patch, and she's got a baby strapped on her back. And you don't see a lot of people complaining. You see a lot of people, they sing and they smile and they're thankful for what they have. This is Sedrak, who is one of the preachers at Maliba in eastern Uganda. That's the church's one songbook in Lukanza. And it's a handwritten songbook. They have one songbook. This is where one of the churches meet, where that farming village where I went. That's Solomon. And this is where they meet. They meet under the shed. When people came to hear me preach in that farming village, they had to walk a long way, and a lot of them had to sit on the ground just to listen. The reason they're smiling is, several months ago, they had not had any children's literature. They had no Bible storybooks. Now, some of you have been generously sending them, and they're extremely grateful that their children can have some material. Someone from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, gave me some scissors that they can use so they can cut out things in class. And the kids were so excited by this. When we went down to the river to baptize someone, all the kids would gather around me because I brought this stuff, and they wanted to hold my hand. And they're very thankful. This brother, he received a book. Each preacher received one book. I took a suitcase full of books, and I told him, I think I've got enough for one book per preacher. He received his one book, and he wanted to speak for the entire group. And I remember him having to choke back the tears because he was so thankful that he received a book. Last lesson, let us remember to run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Personally, this was as of Monday night after I got there. I got there on Friday, and Monday night I thought, man, this is going to be a disaster. Because now that's a picture of our timing belt broke. We were stranded on the side of the road for 5 hours as traffic went by us both sides. And you've got dust coming up all over the place. And we're waiting for someone to come to Kampala to fix the timing belt. The good thing is they only charged $40. I thought that was a good deal. But we have to persevere despite inconveniences. When I was in Bale Monday night, I have a cold. My computer's fried because they have a voltage surge. You have some teenagers from Texas that's there, and they're extremely loud where I can't study. And I try to go to sleep, and the dogs are barking. And then after the dogs are barking, the cats are fighting. And then I've got the mosquito net around me, and I hear the mosquitoes flying around my net. Well, I've got a mosquito net. I wake up in the morning, there's a big gap in my mosquito net, and I've got these red dots on my leg. And so I'm thankful that I took my malaria medicine. And you have other things that happen. Emmanuel and William both got malaria, but they went to the doctor and they got medicine for that. So when Ken Craig comes in, and he has to be on the internet about 2 hours each day to help him do his secular work. And they said, we have internet access. But they said, well, you have to sit on the porch, and it's at night, and he's going to be eaten alive by mosquitoes if you do that. There's all kinds of inconveniences that came up. I don't think I had one hot shower over there. But kind of like Ken and I would say, the Apostle Paul would love to be in our situation right now. You think about all that he had to do. There's wonderful opportunities in preaching the gospel. When I think about going there and they have floods, washed away a bridge that killed 8 people. One of the preachers, Sedrak, up at Maliba, had his house flooded. And they had to think about, are we going to go to a refugee camp or not? This place where I took this last year, there was a bridge there. That bridge was washed away. But in spite of all these different things, you had 300 some odd people came to hear the teaching of God's Word, and there were five precious souls that put on Christ in baptism, and they were all happy and rejoicing for the power of the gospel. And you see how happy they are for me to be there. That makes it all worthwhile. Come over and help us. And they want to thank you again for your generous support, and we want to thank God for His love in giving us the gospel plan of salvation.